Okay, Lord willing, this evening we'll take a look at Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. The man that would bring the gospel message unto us, well, that's a wonderful thing. That's a beautiful thing. God has ordained the preaching of the gospel to call out his people. So that's a good thing. The Lord would send the gospel preacher that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, none good but God. Bring good tidings of God who is good, that publish and declare and preach salvation. Salvation. We know that salvation is by the free and sovereign grace of God. Salvation by the grace of God in Christ. That saith unto Zion, that's the Lord's people. That's the Lord's city. That's the Lord's church. What do they say? God reigns. Thy God reigneth. Now, I don't know how many times that is written in the scripture. There's a reference there to 1 Chronicles 16:31, and it repeats that again. We've seen that message repeated in our study in the Revelation, haven't we? Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. God is God. He reigns and rules over all things. So I'm entitling the sermon this evening, The Gospel Preacher's Message, from the words found. And we'll just look basically at verse 7. What is our message? What is our message? It's not that God loves everybody. That's not our message. God is love. But the love of God is revealed in Christ, manifested in Christ. It's not that Christ died to make salvation a possibility, or that the Lord Jesus Christ died to make an effort to save everybody. That's not our message. The message of salvation is salvation accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not trying to save everybody and give his best effort to save everybody. That's not our message either. Those who preach things of universal atonement, universal love, and God trying but can't, they are false preachers. And those that believe their lies are yet dead in their sin. And we know the scriptures teach that no lie can be the truth. No lie is truth. God does not use the lies of men and half-truths of false preachers to teach men the gospel truth. You cannot learn the truth by listening to a lie. That's impossible. In the courts of men, when someone does not tell the truth, when they raise their hand and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, I do. In the courts of men, when someone does not tell the truth, they're charged with perjury, which is a pretty severe, serious crime. When we don't tell the whole truth of salvation before God, he charges us with treason and blasphemy before God. That's a terrible thing to be charged with. The Apostle Paul, writing to the believers there in the epistle to the Romans, and encouraging sinners to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation, quotes this passage and applies it to gospel preachers. Gospel preachers. We place, as the scriptures do, we place great importance upon the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just upon preaching, but upon preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a difference. There's a lot of preachers. Woods are full of preachers. Preachers everybody, everywhere. Everybody is a preacher of some kind. But we know that it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God sends out his gospel ministers. He said, I charge you to go everywhere and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, what? Believeth the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The Apostle Paul asked those important questions there in Romans chapter 10, don't turn back there. Let me just read it to you. How then? He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord, who he is, what he's done, shall be saved. But how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? God sends out gospel preachers with the message of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot call and believe upon someone that you have never heard of, can you? You can't call upon an unknown, unrevealed Christ. That's why God has ordained the preaching of the gospel, the true gospel of Christ, to the salvation of his people. You must hear and believe the true gospel in order to know and believe the truth. Now that just makes common sense, doesn't it? It is necessary to hear the word of truth in order to be saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle writes this, who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. And then he said, I planted, Apollos watered, what? The word of God. But it's God that gives the increase. So we do not discount the means that God has ordained. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So there must be a preaching of the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what God has ordained to call out his people. It's the means that God has ordained. So then, what is our message? What are we to preach? Well, I think this one verse right here pretty well sums it up. Isaiah 52:7. Pretty well sums it up. The first thing we learn is about the importance of preaching. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. That bringeth good tidings of good. How beautiful, how wonderful, how gracious God is to send us a faithful, God-called, God-taught preacher of the gospel. God says of them that they're blessed. Their feet are blessed. Their feet carry them where they go. I came in here this evening walking upon my feet. The Lord has given us feet to walk. They are, that is, God's preachers are sinners with a message to other sinners about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach not ourselves, as Paul said, but ourselves your servant for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Preaching is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He's everything in salvation. One of the greatest blessings God gives unto his people is a faithful gospel preacher who is not afraid of the frowns of men, but he's bold in the Lord to preach the gospel truth. We don't preach the gospel to please men. If we preach to please men, we're not the servants of God. We preach his word. Thus saith the Lord. Whether men frown or whether men smile, it makes no difference. God's servants are bold to declare unto all the counsel of God, declare unto all people the eternal purpose and counsel of God, keeping back nothing that is profitable unto you, preaching publicly and privately repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We boldly declare the message that there is salvation in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. These are men who were sent of God with God's gospel message. Turn back over here to Isaiah 40 for just a moment. Isaiah chapter 40. And here we see again what the message is. Isaiah 40. Look at verse 6. Isaiah 40, verse 6, and the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? What shall I preach? All flesh is grass. You see that? And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withered, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withered, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. All flesh, sinful, guilty flesh, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. Look at verse 9, Isaiah 40, verse 9. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into a high mountain, O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid, saying to the cities of Judah, behold your God. So there's a threefold message right there. All flesh is grass. The word of the Lord endures forever, and behold your God. It says repeatedly in the book of Isaiah, our God said, I am God, beside me there is no other. The only just God and Savior. The gospel preacher is the watchman. Notice he's called the watchman here in Isaiah 52 verse 8. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. They lift up their voice. The gospel preacher is the watchman. The watchman. In ancient times, when the cities were walled around with high stone walls, there was a watchman on the wall. And when he saw the enemy approaching, he would sound an alarm. The enemy's coming. The enemy's coming. If he didn't cry out, well, he'd be in big trouble. And the city would be in big trouble. As the watchman that the Lord has given to us here, as the watchman of Zebulun Grace Church, the Lord has called me to this position, this office, if you will, to pastor this church. The messenger that God has sent unto us and unto you were to warn of the dangers around us and to tell us, to tell you to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ for all of salvation. So I'm to warn you, and then to point you to flee from the wrath to come, and to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's an important thing, and it's a blessed thing to have a watchman, to have a watchman here. And I pray to the Lord when my days are done here and my ministry is over, that the Lord would be pleased to send another watchman, another preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the second thing I want to see in verse 7 is this. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings of good things. Good tidings of good things. The gospel of Christ is the good news. Good news to who? Who's the gospel good news to? To the guilty. The gospel is good news to the guilty. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. Good news to the guilty. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ for all of salvation. There is mercy for the miserable. There is grace for the guilty. There is salvation for who? Our Lord said, I didn't come to call the righteous, sinners to repentance. The Lord Jesus Christ, in due time when we were yet without strength, the Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. We studied in 1 Timothy 1. This is the faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He came to seek and to save the lost. We declare good news. The good news of God manifest in the flesh. Why did he come? In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. He is our Redeemer. We declare the good news of God manifest in the flesh without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. Think of it. God was manifest in the flesh. God, who inhabits eternity, inhabited a body of a real man and dwelt among us. And John said, we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. We declare to you the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished all God's purpose. Remember, he prayed, Lord, I finished the work you gave me to do. Everything that God sent him to do in God's eternal purpose, as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ perfectly accomplished all the will of God. We declare the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished our salvation by the sacrifice that he gave for our sin. And he said on Calvary's tree, it's finished. I've done it. I've completed everything God gave me. I've put away the sin of God's people. I've established righteousness for them. We declare unto all that will hear the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ justifies the ungodly by his sovereign, free grace alone. Grace alone. Grace alone. Grace always. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. God justifies sinners freely by his grace through the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, grace, grace alone. Grace chose us in that eternal covenant. Grace called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Grace transformed us and made us new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's purpose and grace given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. We declare good news. That's good news, is it not? That's good news. We declare unto sinners, unto you, the good news that salvation accomplished and righteousness established and imputed and freely given to undeserving sinners. We read that in Romans 10, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Believers are not going about to establish a righteousness by their doing. That would be an insult to God. If righteousness come by the law, Christ is dead in vain. The Lord Jesus Christ is our righteousness before God. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. We have a righteousness given of God that answers the demand of God's holy law. Isn't that good news? That's what we declare. That's why Paul said, I count everything else lost, dung, ruin, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own, but the righteousness which is of God in Christ Jesus. That's good news. We have redemption. We have righteousness. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It's Christ who would die. We declare unto you that his salvation is the everlasting gift of God. Of his love and his grace in Christ Jesus. It's the everlasting gift. The wages of sin is death, right? That's what sin deserves. The soul that sinneth, it must surely die. The wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. The good news is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Lord said, my sheep, they hear my voice. I know them. I give unto them eternal life. And they'll never perish. They'll never perish. You see, we're one with him. That's the good news we declare. We declare unto you good tidings that bring good tidings of good. None good but God. The third thing we see is this. God's gospel preacher declares and publish peace. What is that peace? Reconciliation. That's what peace is. We have reconciliation with God. It says over here in Isaiah 59 verse 2, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Our sin did what? Separated us from God. In Adam all sinned. In Adam all died. In Adam, that one man, the first man, is the earth earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. In that one man, disobedience and his sin imputed to us, we've been separated from God. Now, what is the opposite of separation? reconciliation. So how are we reconciled? Let's see if we can find out. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. How are we reconciled to God? Well, certainly not by something we do. We can't fix the mess we're in. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us this ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit, which means namely, chiefly, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign. Grace does reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5, 20 and 21. So we preach reconciliation with God in Christ, through Christ. We publish peace, peace, peace. We read in Romans 10, 15, the gospel is called the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace, Romans 10, 15. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Romans 5, 1. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He reconciled us to God. We have peace with God. That's good news, is it not? God's angry with the wicked every day. How can we have peace with God? I can't make peace with God. No man can. The Lord Jesus Christ made peace for us with his own blood. He made peace for us. And because of that, we have, you know what we have? We have peace of conscience. Peace of conscience. The Lord Jesus Christ put away all our sin and reconciled us unto God. Now make sure you understand this. There is no peace with God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over a couple pages. Look at Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, 49. Or excuse me, Isaiah 57, verse 19. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord. I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Now wait a minute. I thought salvation is for the wicked. Yes, it is. There is no peace for those wicked men who go about to establish righteousness before God by the deeds of their hand. That's wicked. I can't think of anything more wicked than to try to establish peace and righteousness by your own doing. God said, away with it. It is. You remember Isaiah 64? All your righteousnesses are as filthy rag. God said, away with it. Away with it. Away with it. There is no peace with God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. No salvation apart from Christ. No righteousness. No redemption apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot make peace with God by your puny efforts at self-righteousness. Why not? Why can't I just be moral enough, good enough, right enough? Because you cannot meet the standard that God has put. The standard is not the best we can do. The standard is the best that God can do. He's the standard. And we have come short of that. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how can we meet that standard of God's righteousness? In Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ. It all gets back to relative to Him, isn't it? Without Him we have no salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. Now here's the fourth thing. God's preachers publish salvation in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, they declare that salvation is of the Lord. They preach peace. They bring good tidings of good that publish salvation. Salvation. Call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin. Remember, Simeon picked up that babe that day in the temple. And God told the old man, you would not die. You're not going to die, Simeon, until you've seen the Lord's Savior, the Lord's Christ. And He picked up that child, 40 days old, and looked right in his face and said, Lord, I'm ready to die. Let me die now. I've seen Thy salvation. Salvation's in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we publish salvation in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior that truly saved. He's the only one. He's the only Savior of sinners. There's not another. There's not another. There can't be another. The one that God sent, the one that God anointed, the one that accomplished all God's purpose. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior that saves. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Redeemer that truly redeemed us from all our sin. He obtained for us, not with the blood of bulls and goats, as our great high priest. He didn't bring the typical animal sacrifice, did he? What did he bring? He brought his own blood. And with his own blood, he obtained eternal redemption for us. He obtained it for us with his own blood. We are redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is always by the free and sovereign grace of God through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is purposed by him, determined by him, accomplished by him, dependent upon him, and applied by him. You say, well, is a sinner absolutely passive in that? In the accomplishment of it, he is. He received salvation, but that's by faith, and that's a gift of God. Here's the fifth thing. God preachers, those sent of God, taught of God, declare and design the people of God. Look at the last part of verse 7. Isaiah 52:7. What do they say? Well, God reigns over most things. He reigns here in the United States, but he doesn't reign over in Russia, China. He didn't reign over there. That's not what it said. God is the king of all the earth. God reigns everywhere. He's a sovereign in all nations over all things. Behold, thy God reigneth. God is the absolute sovereign of all heaven and all earth. Everywhere. He's omnipotent. Almighty, all-powerful. And you can't run too far with that. God is God. Beside him, there is no other. There is no other God. He does what, according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth, and none can say to him, Lord God, what doest thou? I jotted this down. We're going to read in Revelation 19 when we get there. Lord willing, I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of many thundering, saying, Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He reigns and rules over all things. God has never, ever stepped off his throne. He always rules and reigns over all things. We've seen this throughout our study in the book of Isaiah. God reigns forever and ever. He reigneth forever and ever and ever. Look at Isaiah 46. Turn over there. Isaiah 46. Remember verse 9. The former things of old, the former days of old. For I am God and there's none else. I am God and there is none like me. What's he like? He He declares the end from the beginning. Remember in our Revelation, he said, I'm the beginning, I'm the end, I'm Alpha, I'm Omega. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient time to things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, my will shall stand. He worked all things after the counsel of his own will. I will do all my pleasure. Pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that would execute my counsel from a far country, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I purposed it. I will also do it. That's the God of Scripture. God who is God, reigning and ruling over all things. Our God reigns in creation, created all things by the word of his power, didn't he? Our God is sovereign in providence. Whatsoever the Lord please, that's what he does in heaven, earth, sea, and all deep places. Our God reigns supremely and absolutely in salvation. He will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and he will harden whom he will harden. Who makes you to differ from another? What do you have that you didn't receive as a gift of God? It's God who has made us to differ. Now, let me send you home with this thought. Look at verse 8, 9, and 10. All believers see eye to eye on these things. We agree, because that's what the Word of God teaches. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye. We agree. God is God. Man's a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything in salvation. When the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth in joy. Sing together. We see eye to eye together. We sing together. Ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. He hath redeemed his church. He loved the church and gave himself for it. The Lord made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations. All the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Every knee is going to bow. We read it in Philippians 2. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We see eye to eye on those things, don't we? Every believer does. Every preacher does. They all preach the same thing. That is those who are sent of God and taught of God. Salvation of the Lord. From election before the foundation of the world unto final glory is enjoyed throughout eternity. They're going to sing unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. To him be all the honor, glory, and blessing both now and forever. Amen. Amen. What shall they preach? Oh, they preach salvation of the Lord.